The minutes of Britain's mandate are ticking to an end, but the nations are still deliberating over the future of the Holy Land.
Palestine in 1947 had reached its boiling point. 30 years had passed since the Balfour Declaration announced Britain's support for a national home for the Jewish people. Hundreds of thousands of Jewish refugees, survivors of the horrors of the Shoah, were trying to make their way to Palestine, but Britain had shut the gates to immigration. The Jewish underground movements increased military actions to force the British out.
The British were fed up, and they had passed on the problem of the partition of Palestine to a United Nations Committee on Scope.
The United Nations Committee recommended an end to the British mandate and the partition of Palestine into two states, an Arab state and a Jewish state, and scheduled a vote in the UN General Assembly at Lake Success, New York. A two-thirds majority was required to pass the proposal. Despite the support of both the United States and the Soviet Union, many other countries needed to be convinced.
You spoke to the Belgian, and you spoke to the Swede, and you spoke to the Brazilian, preaching, explaining why all the time. And the refugees and the displaced people, they call them displaced persons in Europe.
There were a number of us working at the same time also on getting votes.
A preliminary vote showed the Jewish Agency delegation coming up short. The diplomatic team focused their efforts on three countries that were still undecided: Liberia, Haiti, and the Philippines.
It was touch and go all the time till you got everything lined up.
Haiti, of all countries, was the last country coming to vote. We sent down to Haiti a Protestant minister by the name of Sheldon, who was also believed that the Jews should have a homeland. They went down for 2 or 3 days, and on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, they came back and they said, Haiti will vote with us.
Some people promised and voted against. Some people were pursued by us till the last minute and voted for.
Diplomacy continued up until the vote itself was held.
And there was a South American country, I didn't want to tell you which, so our head of the Latin group, an Argentinian Jew who was in the Mishlachat, he went to the men's room and he recognized the men's shoes under the door, and he knocked and he said, you promised to vote, they are voting now, I'm here to bring you to the voting, and he voted.
This was Saturday night. So somebody explained it can't be Friday night because En Mashiach Babi Shabbat.
Of course, we huddled around the radio, which was only a battery radio, and kept conking out.
Jews throughout the world held their breath in anticipation.
Those who are in favor will say yes. Those who are against will say no. And the abstainers always say they know what to say.
They went through the vote.
We will start it now.
Afghanistan.
We were keeping score.
No. Argentina.
On a radio in the office.
No. Yugoslavia and Spain. United Kingdom and Spain. United States. Yes.
I remember the excitement. This was our life.
France. Yes. Good.
At one point, we made it.
The resolution of the Duck Committee for Palestine was adopted by 33 votes, 13 against, 10 abstentions.
They were dancing in the streets. Even the British, I remember one of them came by in a tank, picked up some kids, take them on a ride around.
The British soldier on guard was relieved. He knew, thank God, there's going to be an end to all this. And we said, now let's go into town. So we got a lift on the back of a British armored carrier with a gun. But now we're all pals. Everybody was streaming towards the Jewish Agency, the government in waiting of the state to be, headed by David Ben-Gurion.
I have a picture of myself on the roof of the Sofrut building. I don't know how I got there.
It had the biggest single Hora dance I've ever seen in my life was that dance around that courtyard.
Ben-Gurion, standing on the balcony of the Sochnut building, the heart of Jerusalem, and he raised his hand, and utter silence waited for his words. Tchi ha-medina ha-ivrit. He called it the Hebrew state because it had no name, and asked everyone to sing Hatikva.
As for these 20th centuries, we Jews were always the object of history. That is, an object where others made the decisions for us. As of that date onwards, we suddenly become again the subject of history, where we make the decisions for ourselves.
Something is now about to happen. The dream of 2,000 years, maybe. I mean, that's when we started imagining what might be.